Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for the wonderful name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit in life. And God, you said in your word, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made from authority over us. So, Father God, we thank for our president, vice president, senators, and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court, governors, and mayors, and police officers, the armed forces, the CIA and FBI, and the judge of the land, for their staff and families, administration, loved ones. We claim their salvation, deliverance, and protection, and they hearken diligent voice the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for leaders around the world, the nation world, that every nation has a gospel preached as a witness, and then into God. And Father, we pray for all those laborers out there, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue to rise against them in judgment thou shalt condemn. Thank you, Lord, that you anoint them and equip them to do the work, Lord Jesus Christ, that you raise up people to pray and intercede them and support their ministries financially so the work of God will abound and doors of utterance be opened them. And Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus, paid the salvation price. And God, because of that, we just believe this world is saved, delivered, and set free. That all we have to do is go preach your word, and all people have to do is receive it. So we thank you, Lord, the body of Christ rises up and takes the gospel message to the top of the world, the bottom world, all the way around the world. That every day more sinners are coming to the family of God through Jesus Christ. And every day more believers are being filled with the Holy Spirit, being taught about who they are in Christ Jesus, going forth, ruling and reigning in Christ. And God, I thank you for anointing me today, that I'll be able to say and do what you have me say and do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the Holy Ghost. And I pray for all of us, Lord, as we hear your word and hear from the Holy Spirit, that we'll go forth and become doers of your word, led by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, before you're seated, if you got your Bible, let's lift your Bible up. Let's make this faith confession together based on God's word. God, I thank you,
God, I thank
that,
you.
I've got a Bible. It's the holy written word of God. My Bible is God speaking to me. I've got a new covenant. And in my new covenant, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I've got the mind of Christ. And I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them they're blessed. Say it like you mean it. All right, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad I didn't have you do it to four or five people? All right, okay, let's open our Bibles over here. Sister Tucker, you may sit down in the front row if you'd like to. The last shall be first. All right, so let's open our Bibles over here to, we're going to start here in the book of Luke. And let's go here to Luke chapter 19. Now, Jesus says this, a certain nobleman went to a far country and received for himself a kingdom unto return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Now, this is what Jesus wants us to do as believers, is to occupy until he comes back. Jesus defeated the devil, conquered the devil for us, brought him to naught. He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And Jesus gave us his name, that we could go forth and use his name, and we should. So actually what we are, the body of Christ today, we're just like an occupying army. We're just enforcing what Jesus did. So Jesus says here, in this scripture here, in that verse 13, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have the man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called into whom he had given money, and that he might know how much every man had gained in trading. And he came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, well done, good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second man came and said, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise then, thou hast also 5 cities. And another came and said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a hard man, and takest up that which layest down and reapest thou what thou sowest? Now here's Jesus' answer, or God's, in verse 22. He said to him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I have a hard man, taking up where I've laid down, and reap thou not sown. When, wherewith thou should have taken my money and put it in the bank, that at my coming I might require my own with usury. And he said to him that stood by, take that from the pound and give it to him that had the 10 pounds. And he said, Lord, he had 10 pounds. Now let's go over here and read another testimony we have along this line. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll go over here to Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you should be judged. And with the judgment you met, should measure unto you again. And why behold thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beams in thine eye? Or how wilt thou say thy brother, let me pull out the mote in thine eye, and behold not the beams in thine eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. And that's why we're going along this line here. So let's go over here to Mark chapter 11 and read here in verse 23. In verse 22, Jesus answered, have faith in God. Then he goes on and says, for verily I say unto you, whosoever saith in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, believe you see them, shall have them. Now there's verse 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive you, I have ought against that. Ain't your father whichever give trespass. But if you're not forgiven, neither your father whichever give trespasses. And then let's go over here and read here from epistle letter of Galatians. And read here in Galatians chapter 6. Now the scripture says here in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken to fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And let's read here in Romans chapter. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. In Romans 14, the scripture says this in verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he be held up, for God is able to make him stand. Then we'll go back here and read some scripture from the Old Testament. Like go back over here to, we'll go back here to 2 Samuel. And we'll go here to 2 Samuel. It's on page 291. Amen. That's going to help you. It's right after 1 Samuel. You got yours open, John? Can you find 2 Samuel? I'll wait until you do. All right. I want you to follow along in the Bible. You need to see the word yourself because God said, don't let his word depart from your eyes. All right, so here in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we'll pick up the story here in verse 4. And David said, how went thou matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered him, the people are fell from the battle, and many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul, this was the king, and Jonathan his son are dead. So David inquired of this man who was in the battle, what went on in the battle. And David said, the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son is dead, or be dead? And the young man that told him said, I happened by chance upon the mount. Behold, Saul leaneth upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And we looked behind him, I saw him, and I called unto him. And he answered, here am I. Verse 9, he said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me. This is Saul saying to this man. For anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood, he's telling David this, so I stood upon him, that's Saul, and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. He was wounded. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was upon his arm, and I brought them hither to my Lord. And David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening, for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for all the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen upon the sword. And David said to the young man and told him, "Whence art thou?" And he answers that, "I'm the son of a strange Amalekite." And David said to him, now verse 14, and David said to him, How was thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand, destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and fall upon him, and smote him that he die." And David said, "Thy blood is upon thy head, and thy mouth that testify against thee slain. I have slain the Lord's anointed." And then let's go over here and read here from the book of Numbers, and read here in Numbers chapter 12, now verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married the Ethiopian woman. And the Lord, and he said, "Lord, indeed spoken by Moses, hath he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man of Moses very meek above all the men that were all upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron, and to Miriam, "Come out thee of the tabernacle of the congregation." And there and three they came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. But in similitude of the Lord shall I behold. Wherefore were it not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the Lord kindled against them, and he departed in the cloud, departed off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprosy, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was a leper. And Miriam and Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we are at sin." And then I want to go read and read here from Psalms. First scripture I learned when I got born again, as far as I remember. In Psalm chapter 105, verse 15. The scripture says here, saying, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." And then I want to go back here and read here from the book of Romans again. And this time I want to go to Romans chapter 2. And this is after God instructed us there in Romans chapter 1 about sins, people doing these things. So in chapter 2, verse 1, the scripture says here, "Therefore art thou inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for therein is thou judgest another, thou considerest thyself, for thou judgest, doeth the same things. But we sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Now verse 3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and thou doest the same? That thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" And then we'll read here from 1 Corinthians. We often use this for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now notice here, I'm going to start here in this verse 23. "For I received the Lord, which also delivered you, the Lord Jesus, same night, was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me.' After seeing man also, he took the cup, when he supped, saying, 'This cup is the new test, my blood. This do off drink, remembrance of me. For as often eat this bread and drink this cup, you shew the Lord's death to the come. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup, the Lord unworthily shall be guilty, body, blood of the Lord.'" Now notice verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eat and drink damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sick, and among them many sleep. We judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We are judged, we chase the Lord, we should not be condemned to the world." And then I want to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And I want to read here, beginning in verse 1. John, chapter 12, verse 1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who raised from the dead. And there was made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet, their hair, and the house filled the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon, which should betray him, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because the thief had to beg and bear what was in it, there put in it. And Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burial hath he kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me have not always with you. Now these scriptures here give us show us that we have no excuse or no reason to judge anyone. We have to realize here that, you know, it's real easy to get in a position or get in a situation where you think you have the right to judge someone else. Now, I preached divine healing for a few years, ever since I've been in the ministry and even started before then. If you're going to walk in health, you got to learn to forgive others. You got to love everybody and forgive everybody, and you can't judge anyone. You got to keep your mouth shut. You know, like Mom told you, watch your mouth. Miriam shouldn't have said what she said. You know, I don't know anything about this Ethiopian woman. I don't know if she's black or white. There's arguments on both sides, you know, and her being, well, she's Jewish or whatever. I don't care. But Miriam had a skin problem, and she got a skin problem. She got leprosy. She should have kept her mouth shut. The curse doesn't come causeless. You can't judge anybody about anything. You're not in a position. The same measure you met, the standards you use to judge others, you'll be judged by it. People judge God. We read there in Luke chapter 19. I thought she's a hard man, reaping where thou not sown, gathering where thou not strawed. And God said, if you thought that I was this way, that this is how I am, then you should have taken the money that you had and put it in the bank and drawn interest. But you didn't do that. Now the judgment that you judge me with, you'll be judged with. And see, that's why you don't want to judge. When you judge others, that's going to be saved for you to be judged back on you. So these are very serious consequences. Mary's not going to get healed until she apologizes and gets Moses to pray for her, to intercede for her. And you just got to be, you can't say stuff about people. You know, you consider yourself, at least thou also be tempted. You can judge people just by your tone or your voice. You may not say any words. I didn't say anything about them. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? This is God speaking. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? A while back, I was getting my hair cut. This guy cutting my hair brought up a television preacher. He started talking about him, says, you manage how much money comes in those collection plates? This is how Judas talked. Judas had a money problem. And he died over it. The love of money is the root of all evil. You want to walk in divine health? Keep your mouth shut. Don't judge anybody. And people do all the time. And they think they're right judging others. They become superior. They think they have a right to say whatever. You can't judge any man of God or woman of God. You got to leave them alone. My first scripture I memorized was, touch not my anointed. I've only said one thing about one minister since I've been born again, and that was 1980, March the 21st. No one's ever heard me say one thing about another minister. And when I'm around them, they wouldn't even know if I didn't like them or like what they did. So you got to be very cautious about this. You see, David said, was you even afraid to touch God's anointed? I mean, David thought about this before he reacted. He spent the whole day fasting before he did any decision on this. Was you even afraid? Now, what I'm going to do is the judgment you judged him with, I'm going to judge you with. This is a standard that God goes by. Judge not, Jesus said, lest you be judged. The standard that you use, what you judge other people, it will be brought back on you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, a man's justified and condemned with the words of the mouth. Never cause a minister of the gospel any havoc, any problems, any harassment. Leave him alone. Now that was the first thing I learned about divine healing. I'm not going back to what I was delivered from. And I was drilled that you leave this stuff alone. You don't touch it. You don't even think about it. Why people do what they do. Judas thinks he's got the right to say something about what this lady did with her money. He thinks it's too expensive to take this kind of perfume, pour it on Jesus' feet. This is like a year's wages. They don't sell this at CVS. And you know you don't buy your cologne and perfume at a drugstore. Or it smells like you're disaffecting the rest of us. This is beyond Neiman Marcus. There's jewelry stores in New York City that a watch is over $1 million. And you won't get in the store unless you've got an appointment. There's toy stores that you won't get into unless you've got an appointment. They pull up in front of these stores in limos. And they have the whole store to themselves. So there are things that cost a little bit more than what we've got here in town. And this is this kind of perfume. Now Judas thinks, like the guy cutting my hair thought, that's too much. Now what you judge, Judas fell over money, 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus Christ. If you don't deal with these situations, your lives, these situations, an issue, they're going to come back and bite you. You only have so long to judge yourself. Marion ran out of time. She got leprosy. And you give place to the devil, Satan to come in. So you always want to just learn to keep your mouth shut. Just tell people, it's none of my business. I don't care anything about it in Jesus' name. I'm not getting into this. This is the reason why I don't hang around some of my relatives. Because as soon as I'm with them, they're going to bring up something that happened to some of the ministers they knew. And I miss them. Sometimes I've cried over missing them. But I ain't hanging around with them. I'm not getting around with any of this kind of talk. I hate strife. I hate sowing discord among the brethren. And people that do it, I don't even let them in my church. I keep them out. I don't want you around as a believer. You got so long to judge yourself. I'm a pastor. I'm like a dad. I told Skyler the other day, he talked about starting dating. I said, I will go with you. If you go to the movies, I'm sitting between you and her. You didn't do that with mom. Well, I made a mistake with her. I learned. You're going to pay the consequences. How old will I be right date? I said 40. That's not fair. I said, we'll talk about that later. When we get to heaven, we'll talk about what's fair. I hate that word fair. It's not fair, you know. Well, you people judge God. They can't, you know, just like this man did. He only had one, he's got 1 pound. He didn't do anything with it. And he lost the one that he had. You know, Marion got leprosy. Judas killed himself. He even blotched that. His bowels fell out. You see, you have so long to judge yourself. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. The key to divine health and God's blessing, keep your big blab mouth shut. And don't even insinuate anything about anybody else by your voice inflections, by what you said, or by what you didn't say. Just leave it alone. If you want to walk in health, you want to receive your blessings from God, you got to leave people alone. You can't go home and talk about things that went on in church or wherever. A lot of people, you know, that they do this. I've got relatives that do this, you know. And no wonder they have such a hard time believing God for any of the promises of God's word. Because, you know, they've been prayed for. They've had hands laid upon them till you wore all the hair off their head almost. But they don't want to do anything about judge themselves. It's as though they don't do anything wrong. You have to keep your tongue from evil and as your lips they speak no guile. If you want to have well days and good days with you, you can't say anything about anyone else. When someone brings up, and you know the conversation's going, that they're going to try to find something bad about, well, you know, have you heard? Then you make sure you say something good about that person. You plant a good seed. Because if all of a sudden God says something, you want to make sure that you're one of those saying, Lord, I said something good. Who art thou? Who art thou? Who art thou that judges another man's servant? God can say this out loud to you. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? And this is what happens. This is why we're always to judge ourselves. God, forgive me in Jesus' name. I just said, Lord, God, I know I've talked against people. I know I've said stuff about people. I've said this prayer today. God, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. You said if I judge myself, I wouldn't be judged. And this is so important that we as believers, you got to realize that most of us grew up in church and there's more church gossip than there is in the world. And you don't want to give ears to this. That kind of spirit to get inside of you and it's going to affect you. A little bit of leaven is going to leaven the whole lump. And people, they'll get together in churches and try to start a mutiny. They'll find all the people they can to get together that didn't like something that was done, something was said. So they're going to recruit some others. They'll get on the phone. Well, what do you think about it? You ever been around Christians? Might learn around them. This is why people do what they do. Wish they'd call me. I've worked for a few ministries. They'd come up and say something at the book table about the way it was ran. I said, well, Ken Jr.'s coming in a minute. Why don't you ask him? I want to see this.
What? Well, what do you mean why we cover the book tables? Because Daddy said so.
I'm sitting at Winter Bible Seminar. A guy sitting next to me, who I don't know, says to me, I'm going to ask Lynette to move the flowers in front of the podium. I said, I'm going to stay and watch. I said, are you retarded? They're there for a reason. I don't know what the reason is. I don't care. People do this. It's none of your business. Leave it alone. Don't let the devil use your mouth. Don't let anybody use your head. Just leave stuff like that alone. Don't even touch it. It's none of your business. None of your business what I do. I'm the pastor. You don't tell me what to do. I ain't going to do what you tell me to do anyway, except tell you to leave. I don't work for you. I work for the Lord. I don't care what you leave. I don't care if you don't come back. You do come back. Because people try to control you that way. They're going to boycott your meetings. Boycott. Don't go. But I ain't kissing up to you. You need to hear this from my mouth. And people do this. They're going to try to control you. Many ministers got wrecked in New England because the congregation controlled them. They got like, you know, democracy. We're going to vote on. We ain't voting on nothing. We pray. We follow God. It's channeled down, not across. So we pray and we hear from God. I'm an officer in God's military. I'm not just one of the people, one of the Christians. I'm in an office. It's not because I'm better than someone else. I didn't have any choice about this. I was just called. But see, people, what happens is they want to have their say-so. I've told my own physical brothers, you better not do that. You better leave your pastor alone. Well, you know, we pay him good money and we expect him to be in the office. Just, you know, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 in the evening. I said, you better leave this alone. You're going to get hurt. You're going to end up in an emergency room or someplace. Leave it alone. Well, you know, I'm in a deacon. I said, you better leave this alone. This is none of your business. Leave it alone. Don't cause anybody problems. Don't let the devil use you. Because you're going to get out of love. You're going to go to some place you have no business getting. Judas should have said what he said. And all these are stories in the Bible are for our admonition. They're for our example. That what happened to them could happen to us. I don't want to curse. I've been there. That's not fun. So the first thing I learned when I got born again is you don't touch God's anointed. You leave him alone. No matter what you could have said about Saul, David said Saul was still anointed. He said in that same chapter that Saul and Jonathan were so fast, they were faster than a bird and stronger than a lion. As they laminated over him. But see, people get in the church, the body of Christ, and they start talking to other Christians. And they start saying some things they should have never said. about somebody at church, about somebody in the choir, about someone wore something, did something. This is too much. Why wasn't this given to the poor? See, this is the, when you bring up widow women, little widow women, when you bring up poor people, this is like unassailable. The rest of us, you know, what can we say? Judas said, why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Why? It sounds like our government. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Well, all these rich people have all this money. Why don't they give it to the poor? It's not the problem the rich people have got money. The problem is you're poor. You need to find out why you're poor. You're not poor because I'm rich. You're poor because you're poor. You moron. Get a job. Go do something. The guy that had the 10 talents got more. The one that used what he had got more. The one that didn't use it, it was taken away. Given the person that earned more. That's the God's economy is not communism. It's not socialism. Can you read the Bible? You're always going to have poor people. You're always going to have people rejecting the message. You got people that don't want to work. Don't work, don't eat. See if you still don't want to work. I can't handle the pressure. Well, move to Siberia. See if you can handle that. You're breaking our nation. You want to be unemployed? Go live in another planet. Why should we have to work and you don't have to work? Who in the world do you think you are? Where's Helen Rich at? Let her raise you. All of us boys, I have 4 Fs, so I can't join the military. I got drafted. But all of us boys left home to get away from Mom. Love you, Mom. But she made it so uncomfortable, you ain't going to want to stay. My mother cleaned steps with a toothbrush. So we're getting out of here. So one joined the Marines, one joined the Army, and the other one joined the Navy. And this demon spirit got over into the church. And people act the way they do. You come across, you know, and you're trying to preach healing and everything, get people blessed, you get all these stupid letters from people. Well, you know, what about brother so-and-so? What about sister so-and-so? Well, it's none of my business, but first of all, God's word works. What do you think people thought about Judas? We wouldn't have known that he was stealing from the bank and hadn't been for John's postscript by the Holy Spirit to tell us about this. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Why was it? Who does Moses think he is? Is he the only person he can hear from God? And who, you know, why did he marry this Ethiopian woman anyway? I don't know, nothing else, just to tick you off, maybe. And she got leprosy. What did you do to Saul? Oh, I jumped on him. He's leaning on his sword to help take his life. Wasn't you afraid when you did that? Marion, wasn't you afraid to say something about the guy's wife? This is what's amazing. To the Holy Spirit, the person wasn't afraid. Didn't it scare you to say this? Why'd you say this for? It's no wonder healing and everything got a bad name. People just act the way they want to act. Look here. You're probably not going to say anything about anybody in this room because I'm in here. When I'm in this room, people act different. You walk out that door over there and you go in the restroom and you meet some other guy or some other gal in that restroom, now you're going to be tested about what you say. People ain't going to say nothing about me or about things in front of me. They're going to wait until they meet you in the lobby out here. Suddenly now they're a minister and they're going to lay hands on you. You don't lay hands on anybody in this lobby or the bathroom or anywhere else. That's my job. You don't prophesy to anybody else. You prophesy to them in front of me. I'm the pastor. And your problem is you don't want to submit. And people don't want to. Your girls go in that restroom, you got to be very careful about what you listen to, what's said to you, and what you say about it. Because there'll be people in churches, they're in every church. They'll wait until you get in a restroom or someplace, come up to you, and they got something. Our church we went to, we didn't even talk to anybody. It was like a funeral anyway. Till they dismissed, and you walked out, and you shook the pastor's hand as you left the church, and then went outside and lit up a cigarette. Don't tell Skylar. But you unloose your tie. You got it over with for the week. But then I got around these Pentecostal people. They'd meet you in the bathroom. I'd be working for Brother Hagin, and they'd come in the bathroom wanting to know, well, where's Brother Hagin at? We want to hear him preach. Where's he at? And they got Ken Jr. They didn't want that. They came all the way from Omaha. And they come in here, and they'd find the wait for the Rhema singers and band to go in here, and they come in and nail them. You got to watch the devil, man. He gets to the people, and when you're unexpected, man, he'll come up and say something to you. When you're just minding your own business. And then you don't want to hear something from God 2 hours later or 2 days later when you wake up and you got one leg short of the other and you can't understand what happened. And he says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? What? Because he heard what was said in the bathroom. He heard what was said someplace. You know, I've been with people and I want to get away from them. Seriously, because I thought the roof was going to fall in. Listen to me. If it ever does fall in, I'm walking out. No matter what happens to the building, I'm walking out. Like that lady said in Brooklyn, Brother Rich, the house could fall in, you'd walk out. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not getting into this stuff. My relatives do it. A lot of my preacher friends do it. And I talk as fast as I can and try to keep the conversation going. So if I pause, they'll be so, have you heard what happened to so-and-so? They ran off with a monkey. I mean, they'll try. It's like tabloid stuff. And they'll begin to go on. They got to get you to. I had this minister call me up early in the morning years ago and asked me, he said, Jesse, are you sitting down? I wasn't, and I didn't, but I said, well, what is it? I thought maybe the guy took a chainsaw to his wife or something. I'm thinking something really bad happened. He's going to tell me. And he says, tells me about some pastor ran off with another woman. And I guess it got quiet kind of long. I just called to have you pray for him. I said, no, you didn't. You want to be the first person to tell Jesse Rich what happened. How many things probably he didn't call again? I've told relatives, brothers, church people, preachers, you got to keep your mouth shut. This is someplace you don't want to go. You never help anybody sin. You never help criticize people that do. You don't judge anyone because you're concerned that could come back on me. The standard that you use, the measure that you use, what you use to judge others, it's going to be used back on you. We got illustration in the Word of God why this happened. Judas should have never, ever said what he said. He shouldn't have said anything about this offering. He shouldn't have said it was expensive. He shouldn't have said it should have been given to the poor. It was none of Judas's business. You don't be like Judas. You don't ever want to hear your mouth ever say anything about anyone else. In the middle of that, you stop and say, listen, what I'm getting ready to say was wrong. God, forgive me in Jesus' name. And if you catch yourself doing this a few times, you'll get so now that it just doesn't automatically come out. You cannot trust a gossiper. I've worked and worked and worked with them. It's harder to get someone out of gossip than it is to get them out of any other kind of sin I've ever seen. You can get into gossip and not even think you're sinning. It comes back to you. You can eat all the healthy food you want to eat. You can do all the exercise you want to eat. God bless you. What are you doing with your mouth? It's not what goes into the mouth that's going to defile the body. It's what comes out the mouth that's going to defile the body. And God, you know, He'll bless His heart with His patience. He'll encourage you to, repent, apologize. And what happens is your conscience gets seared. And now you can just talk about anybody and think it's just okay. Like the guy cutting my hair says this. That's just too much money for a ministry to have. I said, says who? I said, what do you care? You don't put anything in it anyway. You're talking about my brother. Well, I didn't know he was related. I said, we are. He's my brother in the Lord. This barbershop I used to go to, the guy cut my hair for like 20 years. He's got a guy sitting in his chair. He's talking about some television preacher, what he did. So I said, Michael, are you going to get him to shut up or do I get him to shut up? Now, I got a preacher sitting with me. I brought him here to get his hair cut. He's going, I went to Bible school with this guy, and he got in a fight with an usher, so I know he can do things. He's sitting there like, oh, my God, I said, Michael, are you going to get him to shut up, or do I get him to shut up? You're going to beat me. Michael tells the cut. I said, Michael, who pays you more, him or me? Can't beat me on gratuity. Who pays you more? You want to lose him or lose me? I want a decision made. He's talking about my brother in the Lord. So the guy Michael tells him, sir, calls him a name, please keep your mouth shut. You don't know this guy. This is how someone's getting shaved, and all of a sudden someone cuts their jugular vein. We don't know what happened. Just kept squirting out. What happened? Old preacher went nuts, grabbed the razor blade, stuck up for the television preacher. God, that'd make Hartford Current, wouldn't it? People do this. They're so smart. They know all about what should be done with the money. They know about this person's going to die anyway. Why don't we just go ahead and take their life? Let's bring Dr. Death in here. He was going to die, David. He was bleeding to death. He was going to die. I was doing him a favor. He asked for it. And David said in verse 14, wasn't you afraid to touch God's anointed? David wouldn't even touch Saul when he could have. Just took a piece of his garment and got convicted over it. See, what happens is you lose your conviction because your conscience is seared, and now you can say anything out your mouth that you want to about anybody. I've stayed in people's homes, and they talked about other preachers, and one day I heard my name mentioned. That it hasn't been said yet, but it's going to be. And eventually that day came. Don't you know people talk about others, they're going to talk about you? These people are not your friends. And when you're with relatives and people like this, you've got to get this, especially in your household, you've got to get this stopped. We don't talk this way in here. We don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. You're responsible for your tongue. No one else can control your tongue. You've got to control your tongue. God can't control your tongue. He's not going to control your tongue. You've got to control it. You can't control someone else's. Because what's inside them is going to come out their mouth. But you can sure let them know that you disagree with this. That's why I told the guy in the barbershop, you can't act like me or do what I did. And people talk this way. I'm not going to let some brother get butchered up on. That's not going to happen. I'm going to his defense. He wasn't there. I don't know if I've ever stood up for me. My best friend was a deaf mute. And Shaky wasn't all together either. And I took on the cops over Shaky. Because they made fun of his long hair. I'm not a coward. You don't want to say something about somebody else. That's wrong. You're in no position to judge anyone. You got to keep your mouth shut. This is why we got so much sickness and disease in the body of Christ. Among other reasons, this is one of them. For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, many sleep. Why? They didn't judge themselves. They judged others. When did you ever hear that in communion? I grew up with communion. Never heard that one time. That you judge yourself. You don't judge others. You don't say anything about anybody else. You always watch your mouth. You always monitor your mouth. You don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Nothing about anybody else. Because you don't want God to bring that back on you. All you have to do, if you've got children, you definitely don't want to say anything about anybody else. It can come back on them. Aaron lost his boys. You can't say anything about anybody else without saying, God, forgive me, I was a fool for saying that in Jesus' name. This is all my fault, Lord. Just say it like that. Cut it right then as soon as you say something or as soon as you start listening to it. You can't listen to gossip. It's tantamount to saying it. A gossiper's got to have somebody to listen to it. And you just got to tell people, these are ears, they're not garbage pails, so don't throw up in them. You don't care what they say about you. That's fine. Let them say anything they want to say about you. God is your defense. They speak negative, just go in the other room, and they try to put the curse on you and say, no, Satan, I take authority in Jesus' name. I rebuke those words in Jesus' name. But I'm walking in love. I love everybody in the name of Jesus. You want to walk in health, you got to keep your mouth shut. You got to forgive everybody. You can't say anything about anyone. You can't judge anyone. Just turn it over to the Lord and let him take care of it. But make sure you intercede and you pray for them so nothing happens to you. You want to plant those good seeds. You got kids? Sow compassion. You got children? Sow mercy. Consider thou self, lest thou also be tempted. Now you may not do it, but your kids could do it. A lady came to my meetings, began to talk about some other Christian girl who got pregnant, 16 years old. I called another room, I said, I'm almost in orbit over this. I said, you got a daughter? Now I know her daughter. Better than she does. She just thinks she knows her daughter. I said, do you have a daughter? Yes. I said, and you're saying something about this girl? Well, my would never do that. I didn't say nothing to the mother about what her daughter's doing. I said, sister, it'd be best you keep your mouth shut. You make a note of any Christian that comes up to you and tells you something about somebody else. You mark that. That's not someone you hang with. Love them, pray for them, but we're not going for fries. And when I got born again, I started doing that. I listened to people. We've all sinned, we've all made mistakes, but you got to repent of it. How you get forgiven? You got to ask God to forgive you. And people will. They'll bring, as soon as they bring up someone, that's not you. We don't hang around anyone who sows discord among the brethren. Because for these people to be able to do what they do, they've got to have ears to spread this stuff. They need your ears. The guys that sell drugs need you to buy them. He needs you to get addicted. And for these people to peddle gossip, they need you to listen to them. They need you to listen to what they're saying. So they're going to meet you in a restroom. They're going to meet you out in the lobby. They're going to meet you somewhere. They're going to want your phone number. Because someone asks you for your phone number, doesn't mean you give it to them. They're going to ask for it. They're going to want to talk to you. They got somebody they want to talk about, you know. And they team up on people that's innocent, that's naive. They don't have any street smarts. Have them come over, you know. Come over at our house. Have something to eat. No, no thanks. You do this with your kids. You interrogate them, who they're running around with, because you know you don't want them running around with the Philistines. So you know you're going over this litany about what they can do and what they can't do and where they've been, what they're doing. I'm over my brother's house. I just got born again yesterday. I just recently got born again, and it's about, I don't know, he goes to bed early because he got up early. So we're sitting there, and he's falling asleep in his recliner now and then. I'm drilling his wife over everything she knows in the Bible. And I did this for months. I'd go over at night after work and after church. Bet they loved this, you know. So it's about one of his sons that came. He's got two sons. They're teenagers probably. One of them had came home. The other one hadn't gotten home yet. It's probably 10, 30, 11 o'clock at night. We're all sitting there in his room. His other son and went. Well, I think his other son was the one that came home was sitting there with us. So the doorbell rings. And my brother's right back in that recliner, half asleep, wakes up and looks at his son. It's like 10, 30, 11 o'clock at night. Before I go to the door, is there anything I need to know? What do you mean? Don't what do you mean me? Because he's thinking, if this is the cops, I want to know before I get to the door what you've done. Mom, why would he look at me? So she says to her husband, why are you asking him for? Stephen, that means he's upset. You want to tell me something before I answer the door? I didn't do nothing. Okay. Now, my brother had to join the Marines because the judge gave him a choice. So he's got a little bit of experience. You want prison or you want to go to the Marines? Oh, that he was, he's an angel compared to the youngest one coming. The one that turned my parents white-headed, that one. They got my mother to kiss Pastor Helton's hand like he's the Pope. Whatever you did, thank you, thank you. He's trying to say it was Jesus, you know. She keeps kissing his hand. He's like, my Lord, I don't want anything to happen, you know, giving me any recognition. And it was some neighbor kid that run around Stephen wanted to come in. And then his wife's gone. Why would you quiz him like he was out doing something? He's our baby. Well, baby had been doing something. You know. And dad hadn't told mom anything was going on. Kind of kept that from mom. The devil comes to try to get in on you. You don't want to get in any place. You always watch who you run around with, who you hang around with. You always be careful about. You incline your ear to God's sayings, not to other things. Because you don't have a lot of friends, that may be a bonus. Because they'll get you in trouble. Relatives and friends can get you in trouble. They can get you in a lot of trouble. Because they don't believe you have to do what you think you have to do. And you tell them that, and you're like cast your pearls before the swine. They don't understand it. I didn't have one relative who told me it was a good idea I went to Bible school. But I had one sinner. Not one person in my church, other than Marilyn Wright that read the letter to me, thought it was a good idea that I'd go to Bible school. One sinner, Terry Wooten, the guy that carried the 357 in his glove box, thought it was a good idea I went. One sinner, lady that read the letter to me at my church. Marilyn Wright. Well, you see now, people are trying to talk you out of it. And when I told people at church, I'm going to be going off to Bible school and leave the church? And leave the church? And leave the church? Well, I knew I couldn't explain it to them. And then all my relatives that didn't like the carpet job I had because they didn't appreciate me, didn't pay me enough. And you're going to quit your good job? You're going to do what? Well, you can't even read. You don't have any money. How are you going to make it in Bible school? You know, there's just very few wet water walkers. The rest of them stay in the boat. I told him not to get out. When he started sinking, I tried to tell him. You got anything to eat? They believe in eating. I don't know. Did you eat before you got on the boat? I don't know. Did you? Yeah, I guess I had a little bit to eat. I didn't get enough, though. You know, when you go to the banquet, you never get enough to eat. They're always interested in anything else except doing what Jesus wants done. You don't let anything stop you from doing what Jesus wants you to do. No person, no thing, and it's going to be heavily tested. You're going to have a lot of times that you cry because it's going to look like you're a fool and you're an idiot and you miss God and you're not doing what God told you to do. I've done a few meetings that there was no... I've done 22 seminars that no one came. Four-day meetings, back to back. 21. 21! And preached. And walked out of the service. And the Lord said, you did a good job. You know, I have many servants, son, that wouldn't have done the meeting because no one came. And they criticize you because no one comes. Got to be something wrong with them. Well, was there something wrong with Noah? Anybody get on the ark? They only spent 100 years on it. I've had the Lord say to me, well, you're reaching more people than Noah. You got more people than Noah. I was so mad. I said, Noah who? I had never heard of Noah. I mean, I had, but I forgot about him. Yeah, there'll always be someone to tell you how it should be done. You follow God. You got to obey God because you're going to be the one. If you don't, you'll be in that situation where you emerge the room promising God, you get me out of this and I'll never do this again. Don't judge others. Don't compare yourself to others. Just do what God led you to do. Just keep doing the word. He didn't tell you anything else to do. Then lift up both hands and give everybody a belly clap. But thank God that you just keep doing the word. Now, if he tells you anything else to do, that means you've got more work to do. Someone went to Brother Summerall one day and said, Brother Summerall, I pray all the time and I never hear anything from God wants me. He said, well, don't, you know, good. Praise the Lord. You don't do anything else. Just keep doing what you're doing. But at least you inquire to the Lord. But they'll come along. There'll be people. They came in, you know, the patriarchs of old and told them they needed new would do what they believed God wanted them to do. But you get it in your spirit and you just got to follow God. Do what he wants done. And just stay in there, see? Keep following him. But there'll be many people that will judge you. They're going to speak against you. They're going to hope that you fail. Like the Lord said to me one day, when I was standing in front of a relative. And he said, you know, you've got many relatives that are, you got relatives that are praying to me to make you sick so you won't be so cocky about divine healing. So the guy was standing in front of me, right? I looked at him and said, you know, the Lord said to me one day, I didn't tell him it was right then. You know, the Lord said to me one day that I've got relatives that pray to him to make me sick so I won't be so cocky about divine healing. You all seen this guy's face. He said that? Yeah, I said, but that wouldn't change 1 Peter 2:24, would it? He's looking at me, you know. The by stripes were, I said, that wouldn't change. We're standing in his yard. That wouldn't change 1 Peter 2:24, would it? I'm going to get a commitment from him. He's so scared that God told him something, so he's just kind of like a deer in the headlights. I said, it wouldn't change 1 Peter, that's like the third time. It wouldn't change 1 Peter 2:24 if that did happen to me. It's not going to, but if it did, would it? I reckon not. Well, that's how people are. People can be mean. Well, you know, they'll practice witchcraft. Hope something bad will happen to you. Because you didn't go the way they wanted you to go. Well, you know, you and I can be wrong. We've been wrong before. They could be right. Just go back and inquire of the Lord. I mean, David came home and his families are taken, his wives are taken. So he cried all night long. He cried till he couldn't cry anymore. And then he said, the Lord, should I pursue him? 1 Samuel chapter 30. He said, you pursue him and you overtake him and you're going to get your stuff back. The Living Bible said he let him keep his ugly wife. Just joking. You liked that, didn't you? No. So he got everything back. Now you can have her. Well, so what'd he do? He got an answer from God. I mean, his men were going to stone him. And you know, people be that way. They're going to get mad. They're going to get upset at you. They'll get upset because you go to church. They'll get upset because you tithe. They'll get upset that you give. You got the devil gets all stirred up over this stuff. He gets all antsy about this stuff. So he stirs up as many people as he can, say things about you. You're just trying to just do what God wants you to do. Follow the Lord. Can you miss it? Absolutely. But the worst thing you're going to do is not do anything. You're going to step out and at least find out what's not God's will. Well, I went in that direction. At least I found out that wasn't his will. Wasn't too sure. Went out that, head in that direction. Try the spirits. I've said, Lord, I'm just going to try the spirit. See if this is your view or not. I'm going to head in this direction. Please be merciful to me. I'm not trying to do this on my own. I'm just making sure that this is what you want me to do. Try the spirits to be of God. Prove all things. Hold fast that was good. But use what God gave you. You want to use the authority that God gave you. You want to use the name of Jesus. Don't you pull this stuff that you're not using what God gave you. Because you're not without excuse. Whatever God gave you in his word, you're to use it. You're to use your authority, the authority of a believer, the best of your ability. Don't be like this guy that hid his and didn't do anything with it. Because you're going to stand before God and he's going to ask you what you did with it. And when you tell him you didn't believe that way, that he can counter you back and say, then why didn't you do this or that? He's very serious about you using what he gave you. Now, you and I don't have what other people have. We don't have their talents. We may not have their ability. We may not be as gifted as they are. But if we only have one thing that God gave us, we're to use that one thing. And you'll be rewarded for doing that. You're not going to, don't sweat what you don't have. Use what you've got. If you learn one thing from the Word of God, just keep using that. If you learn something else from the Word of God, keep using that. You may be sitting next to a theologian. That's okay. They're responsible for what they know, but you keep using what you know. You know, later on you're going to find out, oh, I didn't know that. Now you're required to do what now you do know. And when we treat kids this way, we expect something out of an 18-year-old we don't expect out of an 18-month-old one. I mean, you've got an 18-year-old sitting in the audience sucking his thumb and, you know, crawling around and getting up and wanting to potty now and then. We need to talk to the mother. Is he okay? Yeah, he's okay. He just has to go now and then. Well, if he does it again, we're going to body slam him. Yeah. You ever jump from a second floor and just catch a guy while he's walking out? I knew somebody did that. He's trying to get out of the house, and the other person thought, wait a minute, there's a deck here. I'll get him from that. Yeah, boom! That guy was so surprised. Like to kill him. Now, the next time you're supposed to finish the stairway before you leave, get the stairway done. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When I was a kid, I jumped out of a barn. My brother told me I could fly. I had a Superman cape made out of a towel. Yeah. I'd watch Superman on television. My daughter watched Wonder Woman. You ever watch TV as a kid, Earl? Not a lot. Probably never even watched it. You never even drank coffee, let alone watch television. So I got this towel, and I put some clothespins on because I saw Superman. Pin it up here. See? Got it here. And they're yelling, "You can do it, Jess! You got it, man!" They want me dead anyway, you know, because the problems I'm causing my parents. So you get up in barn loft. You think I can? Yeah, go ahead. They look this small. People said they're ants down there. No, they were my brothers. Jump! You can fly! Charles Capps put shoebox lids on his arms. He told his cousin, "I'm going to fly down to other cousin's house, and I'll fly back, and then you can use them." Guy takes my stories, man. So he put those shoebox lids on there, and he flapped, and thank God his britches got caught on the barn thing, the nail there, and he's slapping upside the barn like that. It's hanging there by his pants. His brother, his cousin down below says, "How come you fell?" He said, I guess it didn't flap fast enough. You know? "Well, try it again." So I got this cape. I'm in the barn. I'm looking down there, you know. "Okay. Stick your arms out." Ka-dum. "Let's try it again." I'm believing God on my teeth and everything else, man. Oh, man. "How'd you get your tooth knocked out?" "Well, all right, okay." Get up. I bleed God, get back up there again. "Well, I got the cape." Yeah. How about that minister? He used to be on television. Wore that cape. Remember him? He used to be on late at night. Mark thought he looked like Jack Drackler and got scared and wouldn't watch him. "Brother Rich, he scared me. Thank you for tuning in tonight." It was a black cape. Mark always was a real wuss anyway, you know. "I hope you're right with God." "Is he going to drink my blood if I'm not?" Well, you know, kids, they think that we used to play like. So we played like stuff. We played like we're, you know, in the military. Yeah, we had dirt clods we used for grenades. We tied my brother up in the front yard and left him there the whole day with his leg up in the air. Hoist his leg up. Came back later on that evening. He was still up there tied up to the tulip tree. Yeah. Oh, he was mad. You wouldn't believe I'm mad. Shaky locked two guys up in a tractor trailer. The back end shut him in there and left him. A few days later, we came by, and the whole back end had been bored out. They found something inside there and made a hole in that thing. Tractor trailer doors are like that thick on the back. Right? Oh, yeah, we saw stuff, you know, we played like we were that. We didn't play dolls. Give me a break. But we played this stuff, see? I guess that towel was wet. So we just thought we could do it. Well, we do the same thing as believers. We're just always acting. We're not trying to impress one dear person. We're just trying to show the devil we believe the promise of God. Faith acts. It acts like what? It acts like I'm delivered. It acts like I'm saved. It acts like I'm healed. It acts like I'm prosperous. It acts like that I'm more than a conqueror. It acts like greater is he. We're always acting. We're always acting like. We put on the new man. We're a put on. We're not trying to impress one person. What we're doing is showing the devil we believe the promises more we believe the problem. We believe and we're always just acting like. We just play like all the time. That's why we got the book of Acts. It's people acting like that God could come through and do what he said he would do. You want to always act like a kid. Keep childlike faith that you just simply believe that God can do anything. Look at his record he got. He parted the Red Sea. He took the water and turned it into wine. He walked on the water. He brought water out of the rock. This is something that God can do. Our God's a God of miracles. You just can't give up on God. You've got to just keep believing in Him and stand those promises. No matter how ridiculous it may look, no matter what people are telling you, the doctor telling you, the lawyer telling you, the judge telling you, your relatives telling you, the church telling you, people are going to give you a reason to get out to quit. And you may get a preacher to tell you it's okay to quit. And you may get a church to tell you it's okay to quit. You may get a denomination to tell you it'll quit. But you've got to get God to say it, and He ain't saying it. You can stand up. All right. And they will. I've let people off the hook. Hey, Brother Rich, I do that. I will say, no, sister, you don't have to do that. And I've had the Lord deal with me. Well, you may have said that, but that's not what I said. See, I didn't care. I didn't want the apology. I didn't want the $200. Who do you want? When's the last time you want someone come apologize to you? You feel embarrassed when they start going down the road. You're, oh, that's okay, brother. That's okay, sister. Forget about it, you know? Because you're thinking about all the stuff you've done. Most of us can't even, we haven't believed God to receive anyway. Well, you know, I couldn't make the meeting. So, oh, that's okay, man. I've told people, don't come. I probably say that every week. Well, don't come. That's okay. Don't come. And be laying in bed at night. Son, you may have said it was okay, but I didn't say it was okay. Now, don't say things unless I say them. Like I told that pastor that day, why don't you get a lawyer and go get that money? And Brother Potts said to me, Brother Rich, did God tell you to tell me that? Or is that just you? He's sincere. He means it. We're having coffee. He's a friend. I'm thinking, you know, people owe him this money. Go get the lawyer and go get it. They're getting ready to take his church. A lady holds a note of his church, wants to take his church. Peoria, Illinois. I said, no, brother, that was just me talking. Because here this guy's been praying, and he believed God told him to leave it alone. I come along, he's a friend, you know, and this guy owes him money. Go get the money. See, that's a carnal answer. I shot my mouth off and said something. I had no business saying it. And thank God the guy caught me on it. He could have left and said, hey, you know, Brother Rich came, and he said it was okay to go ahead and do it. You can get people to let you off. You can get a church to let you off. You can get people to say it's okay. Go ahead and marry Tim. It's okay if John and Tim get married? Well, yes. And you get a preacher to do it. You can find a preacher that will do it. I've done stuff wrong. Should have never done it. Should have never said it. Should have never let the person off the hook. But they're a nice person, you know, and I'm not perfect. And, you know, the Lord's helped me before. And you go down that road, you're on the wrong road. You don't act that way as a parent. If your kid said, well, you weren't Pickering when you were a child, if that you say that to dad. He's going to totally ignore that and go after the problem right now. Dads don't correct because they were perfect kids. They correct because they were their dads. Has nothing to do with whatever they ever did or didn't do. Dads are dads. That's why you always go ask mom. Right, Lori? Why come to me? I always said to my mom, can you get dad to loan me the car? He's in the other room reading the paper. Ask him. And then by now I'm peeing my pants, you know. You know how I was about peeing my pants, you know. Jesse, you peed your pants again. What is it you want? Can I use the car with those pants? Has nothing to do what you did. You're an adult. You're the parent. You got to make decisions. You got to say no. That's no fun. Who likes to see the kid cry? You correct your children, you usually go in another room and cry yourself. You're not with them that much anyway. Now you got to come along. You got to do the correcting. It's not fun to say no. God's our Father. There's no one more compassionate than Him. He just wants you to be honest with Him. Just come up and tell Him. He knows it anyway. He doesn't find out when you tell Him. He already knew all along anyway. He just doesn't want you to say anything about anybody else. Let Him do the judging. Leave Him alone on that. He sees people's hearts. He knows what's going on. He's trying to keep us protected from Satan. And you're going to get caught up in that. Some relative's going to bring up someone. It is something just like that guy cutting my hair. Wants to bring up somebody else. See, he's just hoping that because I don't have a real big ministry, I'll dump in on it too. I said, you know that minister you're talking about, you know he doesn't take a salary, right? You knew that, right? They put that on the news. CNN put that in there, didn't they?
Well, no.
And people, they'll quote television, they'll quote the news like it's God. Consider that. We read there in Galatians 6, verse 1. Restore such one a spirit of meekness. A lot of times elders and deacons don't do it in meekness. They got this position, they got this position of authority, and now they want to be superior to everybody else, and they want to, well, you know, we need to talk to you because, you know, here you go. And all that comes back home to you. You reap what you sow. My mom said your chickens come home to roost. I grew up on a farm. You sow those seeds, they're going to come back to you. They come back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I've had some of these seeds grow. You're not going to want them. What you want to do is just, God, forgive me what I said about that dear person. I've told, Lord, I even go give him money. I don't want to think about it. See, as soon as someone tells you about someone else isn't doing that well, watch your flesh and see what it wants to do. It kind of, really? Why? And then the next day you wake up. You ever had something, you know? I fell down a stairway one time. Time I hit the bottom, I'm already repenting. Oh, yeah. This is one thing about it. If you were ever taught to walk in love, you may not do it. You know, I hadn't been the greatest at it. If you're ever taught about walking in love, anything comes up, don't you tell me you don't go, God, I'm sorry. I said that about someone else. Can you put it back together? Oh, man, I caught my little toe full speed, man. I dropped like a sack of salt. Run around the corner. I've been teaching for a month on love on the radio, and I ran upstairs, you know, and I'll tell you, that wall didn't move. And this, my little toe, just a little bit of it got it. Yeah, I'm on the floor. It reminds me of the football days I never had. I remember Brother Copeman said, you can't breathe. It hurts so bad. When you get hit, you get sacked as a football player. I played tag football. It was co-ed. I'm laying there. I remember Brother Copeman said, it hurts so bad, you can't breathe. I can't breathe. Oh, God, just a little toe. Okay, I got a little pain tolerance. On the floor, I'm forgiving people I don't even know. That's what love scriptures does for you. You can go months, a lifetime, and not pay attention to them. And set a toe get hit, my little toe. Oh, yeah, now I want to love everybody. I'm kind to the people outside that work in the neighborhood. I got, you know, because the big shoe's coming, you know. Oh, yeah, you guys laugh. I loved everybody. People I haven't talked to, I called them. Hi. I got a Bible study tonight. What am I going to do, you know? Yeah, oh, Mr. Agape now. Oh, yeah, now Jesse loves everybody. He doesn't care what you say about him. Oh, yeah. Where's those love tapes, Brother Copeland?
I gave them away. Oh, okay. Probably should get them express me some out. Yeah, that's the great thing. If you've ever been taught anything from God's Word, you can leave it seem like forever. You'll come back to it. That tape series that you don't listen to, you know, those scriptures you don't read anymore. Yeah, while you're laying there, while I've been laying there. Just while I'm laying there. Laying on that floor in that pain. It's just more I repented of everything I thought about doing even. That's what's so great about being taught the Word. You'll know exactly what you got to take care of. You know inside your spirit. Another time I canceled, this guy was going to come and preach for me, and he was, oh. So I just canceled the meeting. Just forget how I canceled it. Hit my toe. Same one. Different house. Dang, I need to put a steel brace around that little guy. And he's down there going, it's always me that suffers when you miss God. It's the little one, you know, that just has a little small nail. It seems so insignificant about the whole body. But every time you miss God, it's me. It's me. Oh, I'm holding my foot, thinking, where's that guy's phone number? I got to call him back up, get him to come and do the camp meeting. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, he's okay. I'm bad. I'm the wicked one. I called God Old's ministry. Who is he? He's there. No, he's out. Could you please have him come? I'll fly him first class. Okay. He'll come, you know. I said, okay. Bye. Time I love him, too. Joe Morris took the phone call. You know. Okay, you know, I'm in my house going, oh, Father, forgive me for thinking bad things of him. Yeah. Some of us have found out you can't judge anybody of anything. The rest of you think, that's okay. Put something around your toe. Man, my little toes, and I'm running across the backyard one time at mom's house doing something I'm supposed to be doing. I heard this snap like a pencil. That little toe broke it in the backyard. Laying on the grass out there in Indiana. God, forgive me in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for divine. Doesn't he have the angels of God and camp around about you? They still dash that foot against the snow? Totally. Oh, I heard a pencil. Go snap. Thought, that's my toe. Yeah. My daughter sometimes will say, so, Dad, how's her toes? I said, you know, I'm thinking about going to California and build a church. Whoa, who told you this? How's your toes, Dad? Yeah, see, in the ministry, you can't do anything unless you know in your heart you're supposed to do it. And it's kind of like, you know, you're like this, you know. Yeah. That's the great thing about love tapes. You know, the ones we don't like, all those verses. Because, you know, we have reasons why we don't like this person. And it's a good reason. Till you're laying on the floor. And that all evaporates. And I've been on the floor a few times. Thank you, Jesus, it wasn't worse. I've had worse. But God had taught me through ministers that taught the Word. This isn't like some other dear Christian didn't know any better. I'd been taught some of these things. I was without excuse. I'm the kid that, in other words, God could say, you knew better. And so, you know, right there in the middle of that situation, I've had to cry out to the Lord. That's why I've always said, don't let any of this happen to you. Paul said, I kept back nothing in my profit you. Because no one wants anybody else to go through stuff like this. It's just best. If you're going to err on the part that you're the one that always turned the cheek, walked in love, and never said anything, and just turn it over to God. If you got to super glue your lips together with Gorilla Glue, it don't say nothing. Because you and I get deceived, and we think we've got a right to say something about this.
and I've been hurt. And I've had incredible divine protection and was amazed about how God took care of me because I didn't think that highly of myself. Then slip up and get out of the will of God. You got the devil waiting there. He's just, you know, like this dog that was in behind this picket fence we had as a kid and in our neighborhood. And we, you know, I'd walk past it, and other kids would, but usually I did the most and tease the dog. That thing would run from the porch all the way and hit the wooden fence, bang. He'd just looking for me. I go, watch this now. Bang, he'd hit that wooden fence. Bounce off. And he'd kind of go like this, you know. I'm going like this to him. Well, you know, the dog's getting older and I'm growing up. It's run out of the fence. It's been banged up so much over the years. Boom, you know. And I'm going, you know. Kind of like this teeth filed down. It's getting older. It's got gray hair. You know, and all of a sudden one day it hit that fence and the fence post broke. And it's standing right next to me. Oh, I peed my pants. I thought, oh, man. Some girl I walked home from school with, she always said, you probably should leave him alone. You probably should leave him alone. You probably shouldn't do that. She'd walk like this. You probably shouldn't do that. That's not nice. Jesse, you probably shouldn't do that. That dog could hurt you someday. How's it going to hurt me? There's a fence there, you know. I'm no martial arts. I peed my pants. The dog's looking at me. I'm looking at the dog. Oh, yeah. See, I was the cock of the walk as long as we had the fence. How many like to hear the rest of this story? Next Sunday. Oh, yeah. We think we can say anything we want to say, act any way we want to act, and all of a sudden, God, it's my foot. Or wake up, honey, did I sleep wrong on my neck or my throat? I don't know. Is your oxygen cut off? I think so. Like that doctor told me when I had told him I had strep, he told me I had strep throat. You do better than this. This is your fault. A lot of people, things happened to us, we didn't know what to do. But some of us got some scriptures. And when we get these verses that God raised up these ministers to teach you and I. Now, everybody else in our family may get by with it. And all our relatives get by with it. You'll notice that sometimes they had better health than we did. We're the kids that was taught better. And you know good and well some of your families got three or four kids. You know when the little one starts screaming, you're looking for the big one. What did you do? And the little one's going. David, why did you put that tape all over Jesse's face? You know, and I'm like this, like the mummy. He tried to make me a mummy. We saw the mummy on TV, so he rasped me up in tape. I'm like three, you know. And the things are in my mouth, I can't breathe. He's going to make a mummy movie of me, you know. Mom comes in there. My pants are wet. You can't take duct tape off, man. It takes skin off with it. She's coming to keep working in it, you know, saws a little hole so you can breathe. She knows I didn't do this myself. You got brothers, man. They'll do this. If you got boys and you can't hear them, you better start praying. These aren't like girls. They're not in the room studying. You know, it's been a while since I heard from David. Wonder where he's at. He hung Jesse in the attic, you know. You know, you watch enough cowboy and Indian movies, man. You do all kinds of stuff. We had war dances.
Boy, when I got into Boy Scouts, we did all kinds of stuff at campfires. Well, my mom expected older brother to know what to do. And the older I got, the little more excuses I ran out of. Some of us have been taught about keeping our mouth shut. And some of us have been taught for a long time. We're not like other people. They don't know any better. They can say anything they want to say and get by them. They're not, but God knows they don't know nothing. For some of us in this room, we can't say squat about anything. Because we're the ones who always have to repent, always have to apologize, oh God, forgive me. And we're the always ones that get hurt. We need to think before we start saying stuff that we think we've got a right to say something about it. I've been hurt as a Christian. You don't want to be hurt. You got divine protection. You can live your Christian life and never get hurt. Never fall down the steps. Never hit your toe. Never break anything. You live your whole Christian life that way. That's how God wants you to live. I told you those stories so you can relate to that's how I've gotten in trouble. The first thing came to me was my love scriptures. Where's my love tapes I listened to? Brother Hanger, Brother Copeland. Yeah, I'm going to get those out. I'm going to say, what did I do? I got to go back over this. Father, we pray today in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, Lord. Stuff we've said about others, Lord. We judge ourselves, Lord. Forgive us for sowing discord among the brother. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm sure I've said something, Lord, that you had mercy upon me anyway. And God, we ask you to forgive us today. Anything we've said about any relatives. We misunderstand them, Lord. We don't know why people do what they do. It makes us mad, makes us upset, gets us frustrated. Don't they know any better? Can't they see the things that we see? Why don't they know what we know? Why don't they do what's right? Well, Lord, we ask you, Lord, forgive us for all those things that we've thought, said about others, friends, family, relatives, loved ones. We judge ourselves today in this room. Before we leave this room, we want to make sure, Lord, we made peace with you. You raised up ministers, Lord, to teach us about walking in love. Some of us had their tapes, CDs, their books. We sat in their seminars. We went to their church services. And we sat there and heard good messages about walking God kind of love. Some of us, Lord, were taught early in our Christian life not to judge. And a lot of the people that we know, a lot of our family and relatives, they weren't taught that. But Lord, you hold us accountable. Too much is given, much is required. So we judge ourselves today, Lord. As we leave today, Lord, we want to leave, that we always make sure we monitor what we say. In Jesus' name, that we don't let the message get cold. That we use what you gave us, the name of Jesus, the spiritual weapons you gave us, the talents you gave us, the money that you used us, gave us, the time that you gave us, the health that you gave us, that we use it for the glory of God. Now just put your hand in your chest. Let's pray this together. God, I thank you for having mercy upon my body. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And that my body's healthy and whole. You forgive me of all my sins. The times I got out of love. The foolish things that I said about other dear people. I don't want anything to happen to me. I thank you for the examples you put in the Bible. About Mary and Judas and other dear people. They're just as human as I am. And I thank you, Lord, that you help me walk in love every day of my life. In Jesus' name, I forgive everybody and anyone said anything against me or my family or my relatives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to forgive them. I forgive them, and I thank you for forgiving them. In the name of Jesus, amen.